And then yesterday, spending about, 8 hours on my feet at a wrestling tournament, which was fantastic. We're back in here and in the throes of Chairgate again. This low chair is back in it. If anybody has one of those old Bell Telephone of Pennsylvania phone books, if they could bring it by the studio. You remember when you were little, you'd have to sit on a phone book sometimes? That's where I am, because this chair is like a low rider. And I'm like hunched over. My legs are now engaged. I'm going to get a workout just sitting here. There's been movement in the chair realm again, and not for the better. So it is what it is, I guess. So maybe probably going to have to make the decision to stand all show. Happy Monday. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Listen for that drive at 5, if we make it that far. Stories driving the news every single day at 5. It's all brought to you by ServiceMaster Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. Oh, 1 hour from now, in all sincerity, gigantic announcement. What's our game of the week? You know, we put it to a vote, and our game of the week is coming up this coming Friday night. So what is that high school game of the week? So maybe you woke up today, well, hopefully you woke up today. Maybe you woke up today and you checked everything and you thought about, all right, what's my alarm setting? What's this with Amazon? What about this reminder? What about that thing, this thing, and the other thing? And it wasn't working. This happened to me. They put generally our workout every day on this app. And a bunch of people noticed, where's the workout? Where's the workout? What is it? Well, it was all caught up in the outage. So I want to talk about that just briefly to start right here.
Amazon says they found a fix and it's being implemented, but it's still going to be many hours until everything returns to normal, because there are many ripple effects to these types of tech glitches that may need fixing as a result.
Oh, yeah. So we're still in the throes of it. I've noticed a couple different things aren't working 100% up to speed even right now. So I ask you at 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. One thing that rises to the surface whenever something like this happens, right, is this. Are we too married to our devices and doing things this new way? And so I think about that question, right? But then I come back to this. That's kind of the way it is right now. That's where everything has migrated. It's not just the new way. It's become the only way. Are there ways we can survive without it? I don't necessarily think so. This is just it. We are married to our phone. We are married to our devices. We are married to the electronic side of it and the internet side of it. People don't have anymore a standard issue or paper map, so to speak. If you don't know where you're going, you ain't getting there unless your Google Maps or whatever works, at least in the younger generation. And it's not any knock on anybody. It's just, well, the way of the world. So in our hands, and everybody has one, in our hands seemingly is our whole life. And when it crashes, when it shuts down, when it doesn't work, even for a couple hours, whether it's honest and a big glitch or nefarious and somebody's trying to breach security, the whole world comes to a stop. And a lot of people experienced that this morning. And I thought about that as I was thinking about things to talk about today. And again, just want to talk about this briefly to start. I really thought about it today and said, I don't know how many workarounds there truly are. This is where we've gone. This is how we've migrated. This is what is happening in our world. Bob's in Bellevue. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Okay, calling in you.
Never been better. What's going on?
I'm a fan of your show, but the reason I was calling was last week prior to the weekend's rally, No King's rally, you had made a comment that if there was a king, there would be no rally. But I think the point of the rally in the first place was that they protested, they did not want to see Trump become a king. Not that he's a king right now, but the next level for him would be kingship. And that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to make my comment.
Oh, is he a king
that.
Today?
No, you know he's not a king
well,
today.
Well, I guess the rally worked.
Well, yeah, I guess it did. But, I mean, down the road, they did not want to see him become a king. But I don't want to take up any more of your time, but I just wanted to get my comment in.
Well, that's okay. I appreciate you calling. I hope your Monday's very well. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. It does fascinate me, and I'm not going to talk all that much about the No Kings rally, although I probably will at about 5 o'clock, because I think there's a glaring conflict of interest with something that happened there. A little more about this outage.
Even though the internet itself is designed to be decentralized, titans of industry like Amazon have become such key players that when they have trouble, practically the entire internet is affected.
You're right about that. And you think about workarounds, you think about back doors, you think about other ways to do it. And people were faced with that proposition today. And in looking at all this, it absolutely paralyzes us, which got me to thinking, can we devise another way? I don't know. It seems like we throw our hands up in the air. We say, well, today's just not going to be productive. And I guess that's what we take for the answer. I thought about this and tried to really come up with things, I don't want to say to talk about, but different ways to work around it. And it's not necessarily incredibly vital to my industry. So I'm able to, or at least what I do, I'm able to move around it. But there have to be people today who are just out of luck, can't do anything. And you have to wonder if we're doing it the best way we can. Now, the world, and I talked about this on Friday, about, of all things, those electronic tickets that you get for your Apple wallets. The world didn't work better for a lot of things before the internet came along. As much as many old timers will tell you, back in my day, it just wasn't. But days like this, you do realize, I guess the right word is the reliance on it. Not better, not worse, just the reliance on it. And how many tentacles, how many things vein back right to it. So much to get to today. 866-391-1020. Quad workout in full effect right now with this chair. I mean it. I don't mean to bemoan it, but it's just not comfortable at all. So I'm probably going to stand for the balance of the show. 866-391-1020, NASCAR Roofing Instant Access. All our shows, just a click away. Email us, instantaccess@kdkradio.com. Coming up next, there is a very interesting ad that keeps coming up on my social medias, and I wonder if this would be an enjoyable job, not an enjoyable job, or something kind of in the middle. And then I'm going to catch up with Tamira Rush this hour. She was down at that Pittsburgh Walk of Fame situation, and we got to talk about all that. We got news, bottom of the hour, so much to get into right here, KDK. 100.1 FM AM 1020 KDK, or on that Odyssey app. AUDACY. Can also watch us online, KDK's video stream. It's all presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Just go to KDKRadio.com, click on Watch KDK Radio's live stream right now. Or you can watch the YouTube page, which is how I choose to view. I find that to be very enjoyable. So there's that. Coming up in just a little bit, Tamira Rush joins. I want to talk to her, debrief her, if you will, from her trip to the Strip. She had a lot going on. Walk of Fame today. Andy Lindbergh tagged along to serve as the, I guess he was gathering video. He was also interviewing people. He was there in boss-type form, although Tamira don't have time to be bossed around by Andy Lindbergh, so I don't know how that relationship went. I'm going to get into that as well, which will be fantastic. Maybe they didn't even go to that. Maybe they just went to a coffee shop for a couple hours, got some sound from like Ross Gadotti or something, and then came back here. Who knows? But it's going to be fantastic. I'll talk to Tamira in just a couple minutes. Top of the hour, game of the week will be revealed for our football game, our high school football coverage coming up on Friday night. Only one more week left before the playoffs hit. So there is that. All right. Would this be a good job or a terrible job? I keep getting this in my social media. I don't know why my algorithm has hit this, but it has. I'm okay with it. Would you want to be a poll worker in Allegheny County? Not P-O-L-E, like down in the rocks, but P-O-L-L, meaning work the election. So a poll worker, they need poll workers, apparently. Earn, and you hear the commercials as well here, I believe. So you can earn anywhere from $150 to $175 for the day. New poll workers also get paid training. And also referred to as election officers, if you like want an official title, I'm reading here. Poll workers can serve in various roles on election day, including judge, inspector, or clerk of elections. Now, poll workers must be comfortable with interacting with the public, count me out, and keeping up to date with election changes. High performance expectation on election day and well-trained poll workers, they are instrumental in the overall success of elections. As the date of the election nears, poll workers will be contacted to discuss positions available and some details. Now, if there's no vacancy in the immediate area, they are asked to consider serving in other areas. So it's not just indigenous to, like, where you live. If there's not a nearby location for a poll worker to serve, contact information can be retained for future elections. So there's that. Now, here are the requirements, and there are four bullet points. Must be a registered voter in Allegheny County. Election officers may not hold, or within 2 months have held, any public office, appointment, or employment in or under the government of United States, Pennsylvania, Allegheny County, or any city. The third tenet is this. May not be a candidate who is running for a public office on the ballot in that district, except for judge or inspector of elections. And the fourth protocol here is must perform the duties of the office in a non-partisan fashion, which I'm guessing is the toughest one to get figured out in this day and age, as everybody is on one team or the other. So $150 to $175 bucks a day. Let's put that on a low end. Let's say $150 for your services. Plus, at least at my polling location, those old ladies bring lunch. So $150 plus a nice lunch and various soups and sandwiches and coffee throughout is pretty much how it works. At least I've noticed at my polling location. So that being said, is it worth it? I seem to think it would be to do your civic duty and be paid. Now, I would think there is a very high probability, almost a certainty, that nothing crazy would happen. But in the event that something crazy would happen, this is where it would stink. You'd actually be called upon to act. And how would you act? Would you call the county sheriff? Would you try to step in? Would you just ignore things? Well, you can't do that because you're being paid. You really run the risk of being dabbed partisan or going overboard, or somebody who is there just to cause trouble wanting to rabble rouse. That was my only thought with all of this. Now, I wouldn't be an audience for this because I've got to work. It's an important day in our field for sure. But it seems like a decent gig, except for the people who are just trying to get you to react. And I would guarantee the number is greater than one of people who you will encounter who are just trying to get you to react, who go there and just want to do it the hard way. My man Dave in Rankin. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Colin. I'm great. How are you?
Fair. I'm fair is fair. The best way to put it. Yes. Not good, not bad, in the middle.
All right. Well, that's how I really am. I just didn't want to bring you down on the radio.
No, I'm already brought down by this chair.
Physically and literally.
Yes, sir.
Literally and figuratively.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talking about the guy that called real quick about the No Kings, does he or anybody else actually think that Donald Trump or anybody else that's president would one day just make himself king? I mean, that's the biggest question. Is that a concrete possibility in anybody's mind?
I think it's an incredible talking point for people, particularly on the far left, and they're creating a boogeyman that doesn't exist. And I'm to the point where I'm exhausted by it, Dave.
Yeah, it's just stupid and silly. And a big waste of time and taxpayer money, because people say, well, it's free. Well, it isn't free for all the security and police and everything that have to be in place for those people. And that goes for any rally, not just a Democrat No Kings rally.
Gotcha. What of the internet? Do we? I want to say the knee jerk for a lot of people is we rely on it too much, but that's how society's wired now.
Well, I must be able to get around it because I didn't even know about it until you brought it up. So I must be doing okay on my own. You know what I mean? But I could see where it would really cripple certain individuals.
Yeah, you're right. People whose whole business is predicated on it, people who go through that Amazon server and all of that. You're absolutely right. I think you're probably the exception rather than the rule, because I think that a lot of people were, in fact, affected by it. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I do want to talk to Tamira Rush coming up in just a little bit, because she was at a very interesting gathering today. And then before this hour's up, I have a question about if you steal something in particular, what exactly is the audience for it? That just all needs to be hashed out. I'll explain in just a little bit. News, bottom of the hour, KDK. Actually, you'll hear about that right now. Andy Lindbergh, Tamira Rush. They went down there today. Pittsburgh's Walk of Fame happened, or it was revealed, I should say. And it was a big to-do in the Strip District. They put kind of Hollywood-type stars embedded into the sidewalk. So Tamira and Andy are both in here. Tamira, what was your number one takeaway, your big takeaway from this ceremony?
People love Pittsburghers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a big thing. Pittsburghers are everywhere. And we never, you know, when you talk about a Walk of Fame, the first thing you think about is what? L.A., Hollywood.
Right.
But to have something like that here in our own hometown with people who are just as great as anyone else who's listed in Hollywood is just a great thing. And to know that people are so supportive of Pittsburghers, and Pittsburghers who are here and leave, they come back, they express their love for the community, they express their love for Pittsburgh, and it is a great thing to see.
Andy, you were there. Is this an inaugural class that will continue to grow, or what are the logistics with all that?
Yeah, I believe this year is 10 people. Next year is going to be another 10. And then the third and into the future, it'll be two or three every year. So they're kind of establishing it now by getting
they want to get the big dogs in now.
Yeah, right? I mean, okay. Well, just a real quick. I mean, you have George Benson, who's a world-renowned music artist. Nellie Bly, an investigative journalist, and Andrew Carnegie, at one time, was the richest person in the entire world. Rachel Carson, who changed the entire industry with DDT, when Silent Spring, Roberto Clemente, Michael Keaton, Fred Rogers, Jonas Salk, who invented the polio vaccine, wiped out polio, Andy Warhol, one of the world's most famous artists of all time, and August Wilson, one of the world's most famous playwrights, all from here.
Yeah, well, it's incredible.
It's insane.
It is. And that's just 10. They had to limit it to 10, which means somebody was 11, 12, 13, which means they'll be in next year. I heard today, Tamira, coming in, that this was a labor of love that was like the seed was started like 13 years ago or something like that.
Yes, it started 13 years ago. But when you heard them talk about how it all came about. Mm-hmm. It was like Dan Honorato was instrumental in having and putting together, making this all come together. So, you know, when you look at this and you say, wow, it took 13 years to get some stars placed on the ground in Smallman Street, the terminal, like you think, when you think of it as being, okay, we want some stars, that'll happen. But it took 13 years for us to get this. So that means that the Strip District was already in place and they were progressing. They were bringing in new storefronts and things like that. But to have someone say, you know, this is what we're going to place here.
Right, right.
And to have Dan Honorato, Highmark, be an instrumental part of this. It's fantastic. It's like a family. When you look around and you see everybody who had their hands in making this a success is tremendous.
Well, before I ask Andy this same question, I'm going to ask you. You sometimes, and I know this from working with you in the office, you get a little smitten by celebrities sometimes. You go, oh my gosh, did Michael Keaton have that for you? Did he have that yank for
you? I said
100% he did for her.
It was in the walk, man. He came out the VIP section and he had that walk. I mean, his suit was tailored to a T. He looked great.
I mean,
he really and truly looked fantastic. Handsome. A handsome man, man. I never go out of my way to say that, but Michael Keaton coming out that VIP.
So he still has it.
Man, he can.
She told me, we were walking back to the car. We were walking back to the car, and she said something like, Michael Keaton, he's still got it.
Huh? Yeah, baby.
But
the other thing that I've noticed, and I've been in Michael Keaton's company a couple times at the ballpark and other places, he also doesn't just dress the part and looks like a Hollywood actor. When he starts to talk, he has everybody in the palm of his hand.
Oh, absolutely.
It's incredible how he can just grab an audience, whether it's in a formal setting, informal setting. Everybody pays attention.
And he's funny.
Yes.
His entire family is funny. I got to talk to two of the brothers, and Tamira talked to another one, and they're all very funny and personable, and they're grateful for they're happy for their little brother. I guess Michael's the youngest brother, and they were all saying he's a great actor and all that stuff, but just to know the kind of person he is and for him to be recognized as being a good person is what is most important to us.
And his brother, Paul, mm-hmm. who I met, I mean, I had no idea who he was.
Paul came up to her.
No, he is. He's a big K2K listener.
Absolutely.
Paul came up to Tamira and said, are you Tamira?
Are you Tamira?
Wow.
Knew everything, knew how many kids I had. He knew I went from a producer to a reporter. And it kind of like shocked me because it's like, you see, I'm out, people know me, but they don't know me face to face. But I was having conversations with everybody. I was trying to figure out how I can make my move on someone.
Right, right.
Somebody's coming out, right? And a woman was standing there who is the ex-wife of Paul Douglas, and she's talking to me. She's complimenting my boots. She's like, "Oh, you look so sharp. You're gorgeous." And she said, "This is my ex-husband,
boots.
Paul."
Man
came over to me, gave me an interview, said he wasn't going to interview with anyone else.
Wow, we can hear that at KDKRadio.com.
Absolutely,
sure
we can.
Sure can.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you one last question. Do you think that the design on this is for to make this one of those bingo card stops when you're an out of towner or you're a Pittsburgher who's coming back and you've maybe moved away, that on my trip to Pittsburgh, I gotta stop and see this?
I think it's an attraction for the Strip District. Mm-hmm. More people will go visit the Strip District now just to get a picture or just to walk past. So that is a tremendous move for the Strip District area. This is a job. This is absolutely a job well done.
Yeah, we have video on our social media pages. And it's different than the Hollywood Walk of Fame, if you've ever been there, because it has the star, but then below that on Pittsburgh's, it has a short bio.
Uh-huh.
So it's the star and then the biography. And it's right in front of the terminal, you know, the old produce terminal, which has been renovated. And it's a nice one block area right now.
And they say you have an app. There's an app you can download. And if you walk past the star, you put your phone in the app over it. It'll come up and bring you. It'll tell you the person, give the biography, whatever. So I mean, you know, they did this very well. It was put together very, very well.
You could catch me one morning later on this week down there in front of my favorite star going,
They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway.
George Benson,
George Benson never gets the acclaim that he should.
No, he does
absolutely
not.
Never gets the acclaim from a worldwide standpoint that he should. I don't think so.
There was a video of him, and uh-huh. I'm going to put and place that as well. Probably upload that as well, just so people know, because they say George Benson, a lot of people think, like, is he still living? What's going on? Where has he been? So he submitted a video, which was great. I mean, talked about the city of Pittsburgh, talked about the Hill District, of course.
And he bonded the whole jazz community and the blues community in the Hill.
In the Hill District, yes.
When it was the stop between Chicago and New York City.
And he said people would come here all the time, yep, to come to Pittsburgh specifically for the music.
Yeah.
And we also got to hear from Fred Rogers' son. We got to hear from August Wilson's widow. One of the Andy Warhol's relatives were there. So it was well represented this afternoon and this morning.
Awesome stuff. Well, I'm glad you guys got to get there. All and right. I'm glad we have all that stuff.
All that stuff is on our social media pages, videos, pictures, all of it.
Andy Lindbergh, Tamara Rush down in the Strip, and they're back here. So check out the website, check out our social media pages. We'll be back. News, top of the hour, KDK. One name on that list. One name on that Walk of Fame list that I have a question about. Just a slight question about. And I'll get into that coming up at 4 o'clock. Oh, in just a couple minutes, 3 o'clock. You're a big high school football fan, maybe, right? You listen to Katie Carr. Coverage is fantastic. Even when the score is 67-0. Like it was the other night, Pine Richland laid it on North Allegheny. That game, it was still on the air when the game I was at was over, and walked to my car, got in it. It took a little while to walk to my car. There was still like 8 minutes left in that game. But and it was like a running clock. It was incredible. But anyway, if you're a high school football fan, top of the hour, we will be revealing what our game of the week is because you voted. So, we'll let you know which votes, well, won out. And that's coming up just past 3 o'clock. 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. We'll talk to Rich Fitzgerald later on in the show, in the 4 o'clock hour, as we always do. But there is a story that confounds me. And every once in a while, you'll catch stories kind of adjacent to this, or in this vein, in this realm, that are sort of like this. And they're like this.
As the police gathered evidence and launched an investigation, the Louvre closed and hundreds of tourists were ushered out. Many disappointed to miss seeing the gallery's star attraction, the Mona Lisa. But not Jim and Joan Carpenter.
I knew something was up because of the way they swept the whole museum. So.
But it's great. This is our last day of a long trip. And this is the most exciting part.
Yeah, Jim wants to get home, but Joan knew what was going on. Big jewelry heist at the Louvre. A little bit more.
Here's how the thieves broke in. On a hoist they'd parked at the backside of the museum. Dressed in fake uniforms, they broke a window and made straight for the sumptuous Apollo room, where France's crown jewels are on display, including treasures that belonged to the Empress Eugenie, wife of Napoleon III. It took them all of 4 minutes to grab 8 priceless pieces from the collection.
Okay, that's my whole point. Priceless pieces. That, look, it's not like stealing a bunch of shirts that fell off the truck and then you can sell them. Well, I know places you can sell them in Pittsburgh, but I'm not going to say it in this microphone. And it's not like taking a bunch of knockoff Coach or Gucci or Prada handbags and selling them at certain places. It's just not like that. I've often wondered, and somebody might have a great answer for me and then would satisfy my curiosity at 866-391-1020. When you steal something like this, that quite honestly is one of a kind, what can you do with it? You can't go to the pawn shop. You can't give it to somebody who is a collector and he or she put it in their basement collection or their gallery collection somewhere, because somebody very quickly would say, wait, those are the jewels from the Louvre. There's only one of those. One collection. You obviously are a direct link, or you did yourself, stole them. Whenever there are these one-of-a-kind, unique, proprietary sort of collectibles, I've never understood the worth in taking them. It would be like taking the Mona Lisa. You imagine taking the Mona Lisa and then going to like Pawn Stars or something. Hey, I have the Mona Lisa. It's the real one. How'd you get it? At a yard sale in Reno. No, you didn't. There's a big story about people stealing it. Ooh, what? I want $8 million. And the Pawn Stars guy would be like, I'll give you 25 bucks. You know, well, pretty much. That's how it works. But anyhow, how can you get any value or worth out of these things? And is it really worth the risk that you take breaking into something like a museum? It's like you've got to keep it and keep it under wraps and covertly show people you have them. Is it really worth it then to go ahead and steal it? I've never understood that. Never understood it at all. It doesn't make sense to me. There's no secondary market value for it because nobody wants to have what is widely known as a stolen good. Just puzzles me. Top of the hour, big announcement. And also, what about smoking weed and having guns? Yes, there is a crashing of those two circumstances. I'll explain in just a little bit. News first, top of the hour, KDKA.